Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019. I'm your host for this evening, The Miracle Man. And I'm sorry for the late start. We just had a little technical issue. We've got that resolved, so we are ready to go. I'm doing the show. I wasn't talking to you. Sorry. But anyhow, so glad you could join us. I know that. I'm so glad you could be here tonight, and I know the Lord will bless you for choosing to tune in. And I just know He has great plans for you. So, I'm going to start out with some icebreakers before we get into the Word of the Lord. And I'm really excited about the Word of God for tonight. And then I have an amazing story to tell you about Father R.W. Schambach from like 27 years ago when he went to Russia, that I just heard about very recently. I'll tell you about that later when I'm exhorting you after we read the verses. Because generally what will happen is we'll do our prelims first, and then we'll get in the Word. We'll read the verses, and then I'll take a little while and preach on it. And that's how I do it. But first, couple things I want to mention. One of them is I'm supposed to go to the Cedar Point Amazement Park on Saturday. Now, this is weather permitting. Right now, there is a 60% chance of rain for Saturday during the afternoon hours. It says showers and thunderstorms likely, highs in the lower 80s. That's kind of a mixed message. Don't you think that's kind of a mixed message? It's going to be in the low 80s, but at the same time, showers and thunderstorms are likely. That's kind of a mixed message, don't you think? Ava, don't you think that's a mixed message?
Yeah, I think so.
So it makes me wonder exactly to which point, what point, and exactly how bad it's going to be. I mean, trust me, I want to go. I have not gotten to ride that Steel Vengeance yet, that new roller coaster that opened last year. And somebody who I know of, they said their brother had been on it, and he said it was his favorite ride ever at Cedar Point. That's what he had to say about it. I'll have to see for myself. For next year is Cedar Point's 150th anniversary. 150 years. back then, they didn't have no roller coasters or anything way back when. But they did have a park back then. Was when it opened, was 1870. As for, they do think their management is apparently saying there will be a new ride. However, I must let you know, if it were to be a great big roller coaster, they would already be building it right now. Don't you think? Because unfortunately, it takes forever to build it. I wish they could just start building it like tomorrow and then have it built by next April. No height limits, none of that baloney. Just have it built within like 8-9 months. Because I really would like them to do something really big. Like a dragster part two. Maybe do something to the dragster so it keeps going up and down a few more times. But yes, then Ava, yes, then you would have to ride it. Yes? Or no? Or are you too afraid to ride it?
I think I'd still be too chicken.
Oh, come on.
Maybe if there was more to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because then you would have no choice. Because that, yep. Yep, Ollie. Yep, as you've noticed on the show, listeners, I'm still trying. There's certain people I'm trying to convince to go on the biggest roller coasters there. And someday they'll do it. They'll do it. And by the way, on the big roller coasters, man, I get really into it. I don't just sit there and be passive. Some people do. The closest thing to passive I get on the ride is just that I look relaxed, because I'm not really scared like in the negative way. But obviously, you know, you can feel the belly flops a bit, and so you know you're on something huge. But it's not like it bothers me in any way, shape, or form. And I love that adrenaline rush that's on those big rides. It is a very high adrenaline rush, especially on the really big ones. But why I love it there is the adrenaline level is so high on those big rides. Really helps you. Why do the cars all have to be separate? Why can't it all be like communal? And have everybody be on one big giant row type thing, so that you're closer to everybody. Why can't it be like that? I wish it was more like that. Don't you, in a way?
What?
That everyone was like closer together. And it wasn't all in, like, those certain rows.
Oh, yeah.
I wish it was closer together, because then you get to talk to everybody and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because that'd be a lot more stuff. Yeah, because then I could say something if I thought they were being passive. Because on those big roller coasters, I'm not talking necessarily about who I'm with, but about, like, the coaster in general, the people on it. I don't like it when people are passive. I like it when they're loud and they're getting into it and stuff. Now, if it's kind of a more relaxed ride, you know, then it's, you know, but if it's the dragster, if it's the Millennium Force, if it's Steel Vengeance, fits the, if it, you don't know, if it fits my, if it fits one of those big ones, can't be being passive on those. Nope. Trying to like how a lot of these pastors, they don't want people. No, sorry, sir. But anyways, listeners, like I was saying, you know, some of these pastors, you know, they want you to be in it and stuff, but obviously this is Cedar Point, this isn't different, but bottom line is, I just hope that weather chance clears up so that it doesn't rain, because I want to get on those rides. I want to ride that Steel Vengeance. I really want to go on Millennium, Maverick, Top Thrill Dragster. Those were all down last year the day I went. All of them. And so I'm just ready to go to the amusement park. Some of you might think, Miracle Man, what about the food? Yeah, there's funnel cakes and that, but to me, the more time you spend eating, the less time you have to go on rides. I don't go there so I can eat. I go there so I can ride the rides. Now, if I was there and it was thundering and the rides went down, maybe then I'd eat something there. Does that make sense? Other than, like, if I know it's going to be a while, you know what I mean? Like, as long as it's only going to be a certain amount of time. Especially if the car is a long ways out. Then you just get in wherever you can get in, right? Be it to Chick-fil-A or whatever. Canada Express. Somewhere where you can get out of the rain. Does that make sense, Ava?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because at that point, if it starts raining hard, I'm not going all the way to the car. I'm going to somewhere where I can get in to dry off and maybe get some food. But other than that, I'm there to ride the rides. And what have you, they got going on there. So. It'll be nice. We're staying in a hotel in Toledo that has a nice waffle maker. And have you had hotel waffles from the waffle maker before, Ava?
Yeah.
No, that's a big.
Yeah.
Are they really good?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Are they some of the better waffles you've had for sure? That and Waffle House.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes waffles are better. Other times the hotel ones are a tie. Never better, though.
No.
But part of it depends on the weather. I don't think I'll go to Waffle House, but in a way, sometime I'm going to compare a certain hotel waffle to the Waffle House waffle on the same day. Because I want to see which is better in my mind, you know. You won't know until you try it. Unfortunately, there are no Waffle Houses in Michigan. You got to go to some state down to the south. Now, I like that certain state that I just called out by name. However, we have sports fans listening. We're in Michigan. And certain Michigan, especially football fans of the Michigan Wolverines, do not like a certain team from that said state down to the south. So, unless I'm going to Cedar Point or I'm visiting that state, I kind of try not to mention it by name on the show. The name of that said state down to the south of us. That one. You know? Yep. And even though I personally love it there, you know, remember I told you it's my favorite place besides the southern U.S.?
All right,
yep, it is. But I'm ready to have fun, hopefully. And hopefully the weather clears up. It'll be nice to get back to the coasters, as it's been about 2 years since I last went on the Millennium Force and the Dragster. This one doesn't work out. I might try again another time. We'll wait and see. Now, I want to remind you guys about $1 any size soft drink at McDonald's, available at a McDonald's near you all summer long. Perfect way to cool off on a warm day, warm spring or summer day. Or a way down south, I would say, a great way to get out of the furnace for a few minutes, because down south for the next 7 to 8 or 9 days, supposed to be a furnace outside. Did you see that? Low and mid-90s all the way up into Tennessee? For like a whole week it's going to be like that, and basically no rain. Can we have that kind of weather up here, please, but only be in like the low 80s for right now, because I want it to be nice at Cedar Point. Or this. There can be three thunders. It can thunder three times, but it has to be like a half hour before I get there. Only then. Do you bet three thunders could scare a lot of people out of there? Ava, do you bet three thunders would scare a lot of people out of there?
Yeah, it would scare me out
of
there.
Three big thunders? And then after that, and then no rain, and then 30 minutes later, let's have a party, let's get on the ride. And then there'd be like hardly no one there, right?
Right.
And then I'd be... But then the people who stay better be into it.
Right.
They better. You know, I don't want the chickens. I don't want that. A lot of those people who are chicken little. They'll still scream and shout, but they're shouting because they're afraid. They're not shouting because they love it. They're shouting because they're afraid. They're not shouting because they're genuine. They're shouting because they're afraid, aren't they? That's what they're doing. But anyhow, listeners, I want to tell you something. No, actually, I want to communicate one more thing to you guys before I tell you guys about the website and phone number, and that is this. Monday is Memorial Day. That being said, I am going to do a show on Memorial Day. Maybe it's a little bit shorter. Yes, we'll read some verses. But I'm going to take some time on Memorial Day, and I'm going to talk to you about this. What is Memorial Day truly about? Not just the day, but in general, the weekend. And let me tell you, it's not about a getaway. It's not about a barbecue. It's not about that. It's about thinking about those, taking time to remember those who gave up, who they gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we can be free here in America. That's what it's ultimately about. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Monday. What's it truly about? Those poppies that were poppies or whatever they're called on Memorial Day. What were those about? What's the history behind Memorial Day? You know, and stuff like that. And we're going to take some time and discuss that. I'll do something similar around the 4th, when we get close to the 4th. As, believe it or not, you can finally print that shirt that said, "I survived another Michigan winter." Because now that we're summer, now that it's just about summer, it's time to print the shirt, don't you think? Because in some states, you know, it might not be that much, but in Michigan, oh, especially after all the stuff we had to put up with, all those snow days, all that crazy stuff, for weeks it seemed like it would never end. But finally, and by the way, finally, it's at least going to start being in the 60s and 70s and warmer, thank God. All right. Now, listeners, I want to remind you this about how you can be. You can tell others how to be a part of this great show. You can have them go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that is blogtalkradio.com, all one word. Once you get on the website, you will see a search bar. In the search bar, you'll type in Upfront Entertainment. After you type that in, you're going to see a link that'll say Live and Large. After that, you will see a button that says Follow. That says Miracle Man. Go ahead and click on that. After that, you'll see a button that says Follow. You want to hit that, because then what the cool thing is you're going to start being notified when we get ready to do our shows. Example, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you'll be getting notified as we get ready to do our shows. Also, we have a phone number where you can have people call in to be a part of this great show. By the way, this includes you listeners, those of you who are listening. The number to call in to talk to me about basically anything you want to talk about, as long as it's not political, is area code 215-383-3810. If you have a prayer request, if you have a testimony, you know, this show is called The Miracle Man, so if you have a testimony of God working miracles in your life, I want to hear about it. You can go ahead and call right now, 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt. When you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You'll want to go ahead and press 1. Then you'll be taken through a call screener. My assistant will answer the phone, and she will ask you, you know, where are you coming, where are you calling from? You know, what's your name? And then after that, we'll let you on the air. And hopefully we can get some great calls tonight. Let me just check my clock real quick. All right. We're going to pray real quick, and then we're going to open it right up to the Word of God. And we're going to start with Acts 12, verse 9. No, we'll start with the first part of Acts chapter 12, and we'll read all of Acts 12 and 13. Because those of you who were not listening the other night, I want you to have all of Acts 12. Because it was such a great story. I preached on that Monday. Tonight I'll be preaching on something else. But I am going to read those verses to you. And then we'll read Acts 13. And then, depending on how we're doing on time, I know that. I'm already saying. And then after that, we might open up Hebrews 11. And depending on time, we might read all of it, or we might just read a few verses. It all depends on time after I get done reading 12 and 13, because I still want to have time to talk to you guys and to tell the Shambach story. We're gonna pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that these people who are listening to the show, wherever they're listening from, that they would receive this word, as they're about to receive this wonderful word of God tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I confess over this show right now that partners are coming into this program, partners and sponsors are coming, Lord. Finances are coming into the show. Increases in listenership are coming to the show. And most importantly of all, souls are coming into this program via this great radio program. I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. All right. Open it up quickly to the book of Acts, chapter number 12. Amen. Amen. Acts 12. While you're turning there, I just want to remind you to please be a part of this show. Whatever I do, you do. I pray, you pray. I'm opening my Bible right now. You go ahead and study with me. I lift my hands unto the Lord. To just magnify Him. You go ahead and do it. If I do, I'll tell you before I do it. I'm going to say, just lift your hand and magnify the Lord. You know, or if I sing, you go ahead and sing if you know the lyrics. If not, if you don't know them, just let me sing. Praise God. And I'm going to believe you guys have all found Acts 12. You know, if this was a church, right now I'd be saying, are you there yet? All right. Acts 12, verse 1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, insisting to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death by the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. However, the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping beside two soldiers bound with two chains. And sentries stood guard over the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared with a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your sandals and clothes," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing. What was really happening? He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed through, they passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of a street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's crutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark. His mother was gathered people. They were praying. Peter knocked at the door or entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed and ran back without opening it and exclaimed to Pete, "Peter's at the door!" "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be an angel." Uh-oh, doubt and unbelief. Verse 16. But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said. And then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After John had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he close examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Verse 20. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there a while. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with them. Having secured the support of Brutus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country and their food supply.
That's what bothering me the most. Well, I'm good neighbors, you know?
On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robe, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, a little g, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Now we're in Acts 13 now. Now there was in the church, that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simon called, Simeon called Negev, Lucius of Cyrene, Man, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. In the modern day, we could say there were certain prophets, pastors, teachers. We could say that in the last, 50 years or so, we can say there have been Marquis Barclay, R.W. Shambach, Rod Parsley, Kenneth Copeland, Brother Hagin, Oral Roberts. I'm going to stop naming names because there are so many. These are names that come to the back of my mind. John Osteen. Now, several of these people I mentioned, specifically John Osteen, Kenneth Hagin, and Kenneth Hagin, Lester Sumrall, R.W. Schambach, they're all in heaven with the Lord. I'm going to continue reading. Certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simon called Neger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manai, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul and the work to which I have called them. Now, the church at Antioch, there would be like Living Word Church. Set apart for me various ministers. That they may begin to minister to the Lord.
Oh, I see you over there. Okay.
Sorry. All right, preaching on this, I'm just going to get back to reading. I'm going to start it again, verse 1 of chapter 13, just so you don't lose track. I'm just going to read through it. Now, there were in the church at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Neger, Lucius and Cyrene, Manai, who had brought up by Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, one version said, after they ministered to the Lord and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Verse 4. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. And they arrived at Salamis. They proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet named Bar Jesus, who was an attendant of the Proscino, Sergius Paulus, the person was an intelligent man sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the soldier, so that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind and, for a time, you will be unable to see the light of the sun. Immediately, mist and darkness came over him. And he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the Pecusel saw what had happened, he believed. For he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Verse 13. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Persia in Pamphylia, where Herod left them to return to Jerusalem. From Persia, they went on to Phoenician Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." Here we would say, if you have a message for the people, preach. Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel, you and Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. And he overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. All that took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king. He gave them Saul, son of Kish, and the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning himself, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything that I want him to do. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I am not that one. No, but he is coming after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read on the Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm. You are my son. Today I have become your father. The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in those words. I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. And by David. So, it is stated elsewhere. You will not let your Holy One see decay. For one, David had served God's purpose in his own generation. He fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Amen. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything that you could not be justified from, by the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wander and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about their things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, or we would say nowadays, after church, after the service, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Almost the whole city. And the Jews saw the crowds they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. We had to speak the word of God to you first, since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. We now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded you, us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jews incented the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet and protest against them, and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. All right. All right. So, can we go to Hebrews 11 for a few minutes, please, listeners? I just want to sow some faith into you for a couple minutes. Sorry about that. I just set that up. So we're gonna start with verse 1. We'll go to verse 12. Make that verse 10. Praise God. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I always like to take a minute, I always like to add to that and say, but with faith, it is possible to please God. You know, and I'm... glad about that. With faith, it is possible to please God because... anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly, diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Heirs, joint heirs, not heirs like your computer. Joint heirs. For he was looking forward to the city of foundation, whose architect and root builder is God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just give Jesus a thank offering for a second. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're worthy of our praise and our worship and our honor. We worship you, Lord God, for who you are. We magnify your holy name, Jesus. We honor you tonight. You deserve all the honor and glory and praise. All right. Just gonna put this away. And I'm gonna talk to you. All right. We read about Peter's story again. And then we read the rest of 12, and we read Acts 13. Where it talked about, for the first couple of verses, it talked about the teachers and how they were sent out. And then we continued on and read the rest of the story. And it's just some great stuff. Now, I want to share with you a story. So, way back. When, way back, like 27 years ago, R.W. Shambat went into Russia for basically the first time. They were no longer the Soviet Union at that time. Had been broken up. R.W. Shambat one in there. He and his team, some people that were with them, they went into some schools and prayed for people. They prayed. They read the Bible. Gave the kids, some of the kids Bibles. They had a crusade. 20-some thousand people. Every one of them gave their life to Jesus. Every one of them. Every last one of them gave their lives to Jesus. Then another cool thing happened while he was there. There was a third of a quarter mile track, and everybody who was sick were lined up on that track. Brother Shambach laid his hands on all of them. Took about 3.5 hours to do that mile. And then another night there, the coolest thing happened. So Brother Shambach is laying his hands on people. And one of the kids that he was just teaching, hadn't ever been to seminary or not, just trained up in the things of God in the previous 5 days. Shambach was training them and his team. They're there, and one of these 19-year-old kids. There's this couple in a wheelchair. And here's what happened. This couple in a wheelchair, this kid goes over to this wheelchair. There's a man in it. He has paralysis. He comes to that wheelchair and he says, "You spirit of infirmity, I command you to leave this body in the name of Jesus." He yanks that guy out of that wheelchair. Rather than fall back in the wheelchair, he gets up and starts running and shouting unto God, "I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed," in Russian. Then, about a minute later, the man goes to the other wheelchair where his wife is. She gets out of it. The kid prays over her as well. She gets yanked from her wheelchair. Rather than fall back in that wheelchair, she gets healed right there. Right there. A married couple healed on the same day. Freed from, and both wheelchairs empty by the power of the mighty God who heals and delivers and saves. That's the power of God. Well, Miracle Man, that's like 20-some years old. I don't know if God does miracles today. He still does them. He still does them. Oh, yes, he still does miracles. Don't you dare have that doubt and unbelief. The more you don't believe, the more unbelief and doubt you have, the less likely you are to get that miracle you believe in so desperately for. You got to have that faith like a little child. You can't be doing this doubting and belief stuff. No.
First time I ever flown.
Really?
We're going out of Grand Rapids and going to Orlando.
I'm going to sing a song. As you do, as I sing this song, just thank the Lord for your miracle. Come to you. Just thank the Lord. Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, I just worship him and magnify him. The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles, Lord. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole. Reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place. His life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles, the Lord. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who was and is. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. I just thank you, Lord God. I thank you right now for these listeners. I thank you, Lord God, that you are just meeting these people's needs and that these people have that faith to receive that miracle that you have for them, that they are asking you for, whether it's to get out of debt, whether to be free from discouragement, free from substance abuse, free from sickness and disease, free from whatever it is, Lord God. You just want to free them and give them that miraculous freedom and healing and deliverance that they are asking you for. In Jesus' matchless name. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. And amen, and amen. Now, push forward real quick. The Detroit Tigers last night, the Tigers fell to the Miami Marlins by the score of 5-4 in 11 innings. The Marlins The Tigers, in the very first inning, the Tigers gave up a run, like, real quick. Then it stayed kind of the same for a while. Then Detroit put on a run. Then Miami scored a couple more. The ninth inning, the Tigers came back to life, tied it 4-4 off a wild pitch. And then in the 11th inning, what do you know, the Tigers give up a run. They lose to the least scoring team in baseball, 5-4. The Tigers try again tonight. Game starts at 7:10. I will begin listening right when I get home after this. Let's talk about basketball. Last night, the Toronto Raptors defeated the Milwaukee Bucks 124-104 in Game 4 of the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. This game, the series could at least be six, will at least be six games. I believe it's going to be seven. I originally said it would be 4-2. I've decided to change that forecast complete with Son of Slum. Let me see my note there. What did Son of Swami say? Son of Swami said Hunting for Deer 4, Cedar Point 3. Hunting for Deer meaning the Bucks. Cedar Point referring to the Raptor, the Toronto Raptors. Even though they're from Toronto. Canada's Wonderland, I believe, is near there. I don't think they have a ride called the Raptor. Do you bet there's a roller coaster called the Raptor in Canada, or do you doubt it, Ava? You doubt it? Do you bet Canada's Wonderland has a ride called the Raptor, or do you bet that's trademarked by Cedar Point? Do you bet that's trademarked?
Yeah, that might be trademarked.
Then they call them back.
Nonetheless, Son of Swami has decided that he will call the Raptors Cedar Point for this series because we come up with these nicknames for these teams. And I love it. I love doing it. I really do. It's been a very good series. It's been a great series. Game 5 is tomorrow. Back in Deer Country, back in Wisconsin.
Where is the game today?
In Detroit. The Tigers are in Detroit. They're in Detroit. But then, and the winner of this series, the winner of this Eastern Conference series will play Golden State, who, in fact, did sweep they swept Portland out of the playoffs. So, also, hockey. St. Louis Blues. In January, they were the worst team. The worst team in hockey in January. They had the least amount of wins, and they were the worst on many other levels. They will now be playing for the Stanley Cup. They will start playing in a few days against Boston Bruins, who swept Carolina out of the playoffs. Carolina, the last time they played in the Stanley Finals was against the Red Wings back in 2002. And I still can't wait for Detroit to get back there. It's been far too long. When you're the Red Wings, 10 years is too long. 3 years is too long. 3 years in a row to miss the playoffs, that's too long. I'm ready for them to get back to work and just get back to doing what they did best, win in the playoffs. And that's what They were so good up there. Now, I want to pray prayer of Psalm 91 protection over this week, over you this weekend.
Yeah, but it's
the unofficial start of summer is here basically Friday. You know, in many parts of the country, kids will be having their last day of school today, tomorrow, or Friday. Yeah, so they'll be out of school. But what I'm after is this weekend. Lord, I thank, pray Psalm 91 over these listeners over this weekend. I say that there will be no drug driver. I mean, I say that no drug driver, no drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no terrorist, no fire, flood, or crash, no suicide. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us or our immediate loved ones because you, Jesus, you, Lord, have given your angels charge round about us to keep us in all of our ways and to keep us safe. Thank you that it's going to be a good, fun weekend. And we'll have fun, but we'll keep the sin out. And I just thank you, Lord, for your protection over us, that you will keep us safe wherever we go, whatever we do on this unofficial start of summer. In Jesus' name. Amen. I sure love you, listeners. All right. I'll see you again all on Memorial Day evening. And we're going to talk about the real meaning of Memorial Day. What is it truly about? I'll teach for a few minutes. We'll talk about some sports and that, but it'll be fun. And so until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.